You said it would be a church. It is a church. They're all sitting in rows staring forward. Oh, they do that now? Are you a church?
Yes.
Okay. I'm John. You might know me from a few books and letters I wrote. I've been at Patmos lately, which is an interesting place. You wouldn't know where Patmos was. It's on the other... Maybe it's still there, I don't know. But it was on the other side of the world. Apparently I'm on the other side of the world right now. In a church. Have you been sitting in rows like this for a while? Okay, interesting. What are you looking at? There's nothing there. But I was on Patmos. Interesting, I was on Patmos because I'd been sharing about Jesus. And you know Jesus, right? Some of you do, that's good. And I was sharing about Jesus, and the authorities didn't like anybody knowing and hearing about Jesus, so they put me on Patmos, which is good, because there were other people younger than me. I'm an old man now, and so they put me on an island. The younger people, other than me, were put in boiling pots of tar, just for sharing about Jesus. Funny though, God's been doing some weird things on Patmos, and I've shared more about Jesus on Patmos than I have anywhere else, and so he sent me to you here today, because apparently you are talking about having an encounter with God. And I've had some encounters with God. Oh, some of them I didn't know it was God till about 2 years later. But I've had some amazing encounters with God. So he told me to come to you and share about why I might be having some, what it's like to have an encounter with God. Oh, your chairs don't swivel, do they? It's much easier when you're sitting on a cushion. And then you just move the cushion around wherever the speaker might be going to. And, I recognize this. What is this? This thing. I've seen this before. What do you call this? An iPod. I've seen these things in vision. You hold it like this. I saw people holding these things like this in their hands, and then to their foreheads, and then to their hands, and then to the... Do you hold this like this ever? You do? And they let Christians have these? Oh, enjoy it. You won't be able to keep these for long. They'll be taking those away. They look nice. Do you have encounters with God? Maybe. You're not sure. I wasn't sure. I was the youngest disciple by far. Peter was the oldest one by far. Peter and I had a little competitive edge, shall we say. But I was the youngest one, and I was fishing with my dad and my brother James. James could also be a bit of a pain. I didn't like him very much all the time, actually. He never agreed with me. He was always wrong, and I was always right. But he didn't even agree with that. He thought he was always right, and I was always wrong. So I'd hit him. Not a kind of hit, but a kind of a... Later, Jesus told me to stop doing that. Sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't. But it didn't seem to stop Jesus from hanging out with me, which is pretty cool. Anyway, I was fishing with... Actually, we'd been done fishing. We'd had a really good catch. Peter, up the way, had not had such a good catch. He was fishing with his brother. He was older, so he was allowed to fish by himself. I was fishing with my dad and with James, and we were mending our nets, and this rabbi, this teacher, he looked really cool, came walking down the shore, and Andrew and Simon was with him. He was called Simon. Back then, he had to change his name. He didn't have to change my name. And he was walking down, and Jesus, this rabbi, asked if we would also like to follow him. And I wasn't really old enough for college yet. I hear you call it college. We would follow a rabbi, and the rabbi would teach us. And Peter, he'd been trying to get into college for years and years, and nobody would take him. If you knew him, you'd know why. And Andrew, he couldn't get in either. But now, this person, and he looked kind of cool. He looked like he knew what he was doing, and he had good references and everything. And now Jesus said to Peter, come follow me. And we thought Peter was kind of past it. And he asked if I wanted to go, and I was a little bit young, but I looked at my dad, and my dad's like, yeah, go. And so we dropped everything, and we followed Jesus. After a while, we began to think that there was really something different about this guy. He wasn't like the other rabbis. For starters, he would say to a crippled person, rise, get up and walk. And he did. Now, the rabbis weren't so good at that. It happened every now and then. But there was something about Jesus. Every now and then we'd try and lie and exaggerate. Jesus would always know. So there started to be an incredible honesty amongst our group. Except when Jesus left to pray or something, we'd start fighting with each other. And every now and then, being good for a long period of time can kind of make you mad. I don't know if it's still like that today. But if I was good for a long time, I'd get really mad. And guess who I'd hit? James. I never thought of hitting Jesus. I think if he hit back, it would hurt. But if James hit back, it didn't hurt. Because he didn't have a very good, you know. He was older than me, but much weaker than me. I was pretty good at everything, really. This is what I thought growing up. I could run faster than Peter, too. When we went down, did they keep that in? I wrote that in the book. I bet they took that out, though, that I beat Peter to the tomb. That was pretty neat, because he was an old man. He was like, you know, 22. And I was only 15, so I could run fast. Oh, those were the days. I'm not 15 anymore. I got to find out who Jesus was. He was amazing. One day, Jesus asked Peter, James, and me. Always put me last. It bothered me a little bit, but I got used to it. Peter, James, John, come with me. And when Jesus said, come with me, we'd gotten really used to going, okay. And we started following. James was in front, so I tried to get in front. And then James would go, we'd be tussling. And Jesus would look around, and we'd be like two kids in the back of a minivan. No, everything's fine here. We went up a hill. We left the others behind. I liked it when Jesus did that. When Jesus spoke to us in smaller, sometimes he'd speak to me one-on-one. And he'd ask me about my anger. What are you so mad about? He'd ask. I don't know. Sometimes I just get mad. things don't go right. He says, I understand. Sometimes I'd get mad for Jesus because of the way people would treat him. We went up this hill and we got near the top. And all of a sudden we were looking at Jesus, and all of a sudden his face began to glow. You've never seen anything like this. Like your pod thingy. You know, it glowed there. Jesus' face was like that. And we were kind of staring. And we looked at each other. And we looked back, and all of a sudden, all of Jesus was glowing. And then next to him was Moses. As soon as I saw Moses, you know what I thought? When I grow up, I'm going to get a beard like his. He had a good beard. Oh, we'd heard so much about Moses. And it was Moses right there. And Elijah next to him. We had heard that Elijah was to come before the Messiah. And some of us were thinking that Jesus might be the Messiah. But we were like, but where's Elijah? When we asked Jesus this, he says, well, Elijah's already been and gone, but you didn't recognize him. I wonder who that was. Maybe John the Baptist is the closest. We could come up with that. And there was Jesus. And there was Moses. And there was Elijah. And Peter. Oh, he's a funny one. He says, Lord, can we build 3 shelters for you here? Peter, ooh. He really had no idea. Why would they want a shelter there? Rain wouldn't touch them. They were glowing. All of them were glowing. When we were staring, this voice came out of heaven and said, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased. We'd heard that this had happened at Jesus' baptism. But God, this was God saying right there. And as soon as we heard his voice, we went, and we just lay down flat on the ground. Because when you're in God's presence, it's hard to do anything else other than freeze. Just listen to what he says. It doesn't matter what I was thinking anymore. Everything was about God as soon as he was there. We had our faces flat on the ground, and then suddenly there was a hand touching my shoulder, and I looked up, and it was Jesus again, but the glowing had gone. Got up. Usually when we were with Jesus, we would talk, but climbing down the mountain, none of us said anything. Something amazing had happened that day. When you meet God, your questions disappear. We knew who Jesus was now. Until he did something else we didn't think that the Messiah would do. And then we'd question it again. But then when we'd meet God, we wouldn't question anymore. Jesus did lots of strange things. He washed our feet. You all have coverings on your feet, I notice. These are quite... No, you have some sandals. Yes, he would wash your feet. We thought that was very strange. I mean, if he was God, why did he become our servant? It never made sense to us, ever. After that, he told us that one of us would betray him. We might not understand him, but none of us would betray him. But one of us did. We went to the garden. Jesus seemed very heavy. He told us to pray for him. We tried. Oh, we tried. Have you ever tried to pray all night? It's hard. we fell asleep. So he came and got Peter, me, and James. He says, "You, the three of you, come pray with me." And so we'd be there. We'd kneel down. Oh, it's hard to kneel down now. Then I could kneel down easily. We tried to pray. But when you close your eyes to pray, it's just a little step until you're asleep again. You kept waking us up. "Please pray." And then Judas came with the religious leaders, and they took him away. I'm afraid to say that we all scattered. Well, except for Peter. Peter decided to follow, be the hero. You heard what happened there? I bet you did. We all wrote that down. He's a good guy, though. I'd do anything for Peter now. I miss him. I ran into the women. There are lots of women that followed Jesus. Older women, younger women. They'd do anything for him. There were four there that I remember. Jesus' mother's name. Do you know who she was? You know her name? Mary, that's right. And Jesus' mother's sister was there. Do you know what her name was? Mary. Mary Magdalene was there. Do you know what her name was? Mary, you're good. And then my mother was there too. Do you know what her name was? Mary. Everybody was called Mary. They only had one name for women back then, I think. Jesus' aunt was called Elizabeth. So there's at least one person that wasn't called Mary. And we decided to get a little bit closer. And by the time we did that, they were already bringing Jesus out of the city. And he was carrying a cross. We said, "No, they're gonna crucify Jesus? Why in the world would they crucify Jesus? What did he do? I mean, we knew they didn't like him. Maybe they'd stone him, but crucify him?" And we stayed our distance. And in the distance we could see the Roman soldiers put him on the cross. Awful thing. And then lift the cross up. And then the crowds went away and they left him there to die. That's when me and the Marys, we went in. We went right up to Jesus. "Why are you doing this?" There were some people that were mocking him. "You brought others to life. You healed others. And look at yourself. Just on the..." Oh, man, I wanted to hit them so bad. But not in front of Jesus. I was actually incredibly sad. The thought of losing this amazing man. Why would they do that? Why, if he was the Messiah, why did he let them do that? We were learning to trust him, but this was tough. I was the last person that Jesus spoke to before he died, other than God. You should always talk to God. This is how I knew that God had left Jesus, because Jesus asked God a question. God wasn't with him anymore. But even then, Jesus told me to look after his mother, which was easy because she's called Mary too. And ever since then, I did. For as long as she lived. And Jesus let them kill him. And I could not understand it. was just a few weeks ago that I really got it. I was on Patmos, this place where I wasn't supposed to speak for God anymore. And all of a sudden I hear this voice, and I recognized it was like the voice from on the mountain. And when I looked around to see if I could see the voice, I saw a candlestick and lampstands, and there was Jesus walking amongst them. Like, whoa! That's Jesus! And then an angel came and told me to write down things that needed to go to the churches. And okay. So all of a sudden there was some writing stuff. And I started writing down these. There were seven churches. And I started writing that down. And when they were done, they just sort of concluded that. And I was like, that's it? No, it wasn't it. And I looked up into the sky, and there was this door that opened up into the heavens. And through the door was heaven. And God's voice came down and said, come up here. Let me show you the things that are to come. And just when I was thinking, well, how do I get there? I was suddenly in the Spirit. Oh, I love being in the Spirit. And I was in heaven. I was in the throne room. And there was God on the throne with I described it this way. It was like a rainbow, but an emerald rainbow, sort of emanating from the throne. Emeralds, rainbows, different colors. It was the most beautiful thing you could ever see. And it was coming out from behind God. And in front of God were these seven amazing flames, pure flames. And the closest thing I could say is fire. They were like fire, seven of them. And this was the spirits of God right there in front of the throne. There was the Father, there was the spirits. And off to the side and around were human beings like you and me. There were 24 of them. And they wore white robes, and they had crowns on their heads, and they were sitting on thrones too, next to God. And in front of the Spirit of God was like this sea of glass right there. It was a man like crystal glass, just glowing and sprinkling and shedding off beautiful light. I tried my best to describe it, but it was so amazing. It was very hard. And in front there were these four creatures that had six wings each. There was this ox, a human, and an eagle, and a lion. And they had six wings. And on these wings, they had eyes. They could see everything. And this time, interestingly enough, I didn't fall flat on my face. I was frozen with fear. Just sort of locked there. Didn't know where to go or what to do. And people started praising the creatures with the eyes. They would kick it off. Worthy, worthy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Oh, and he was holy. And when they'd start singing this, that day and night, they would do this constantly. Every now and then they'd just stop what they're doing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They did not sit in rows just saying. And then when they would start this up, the elders would be up sitting on their throne. And they would get up, and they would come down off of their throne. They had steps, and they would take their crowns off, and they would join in the worship, and they would lie before God. It was an amazing scene. But I noticed something off to the side. It looked a little like this. It was what you call a book. We call it a scroll. And this scroll, most scrolls would be written on the inside, but this scroll was written on the outside as well. And this scroll would contain everything about this world. It contained the devil's accusations about God. It had all the hitting I did on James. But this scroll was sealed, shut. Somebody would call out, "Who is worthy to open up this scroll? Who can answer these accusations from the devil? Who can take all the stuff that we've done and just bury it away, push it away so that it doesn't, it's not part of our future anymore? Who can do this?" And in my frozen fear, I went from awe and worship to complete and utter regret. Because there was no one in this room that was worthy to open this scroll. And when I realized that, I wept. Because there was no point of anything. There was no point of life. Nobody could get up and say who God was. All this worship seemed to be in vain. Just going through the motions. And I could tell in this room that something passionate, something wonderful was severely missing. And I cried. And I fell down to my knees. And I regretted every bad thing I had ever done to bring God's name into question. When all of a sudden, one of the 24 elders came over, tapped me on the shoulder. I've been tapped on the shoulder a few times. This was one of the best times I've ever been tapped on the shoulder. And he says, "Get up, look, there is the lion from the tribe of Judah. And he is worthy to open the scroll." And I looked up for a lion, but I didn't see a lion. I don't know why he said there's a lion. I don't get that. Because when I looked up, I saw a lamb with seven eyes. It's a weird looking lamb. But this lamb had died, and it had all the markings of a lamb that had been sacrificed. It was weak. But this lamb was worthy. This lamb was God. And this weak lamb, who I had seen die, I saw this lamb die. This lamb of God let people kill him, so that when he came up to the throne room, he could go and he could take that scroll and he could rip off those seals and bring to light salvation and the true character of God. You don't sound very excited, but it's pretty cool. Where I came from, when we got excited about Scripture, we'd get up off of our cushion and we'd go dancing around. We would. And when we came up to the scroll, we'd pick it up, we'd dance, we'd sing, and there'd be music. And oh, you should have seen Jesus do this. He was the best dancer at Scripture. And he'd come up and he'd kiss the Scriptures before he read them. When we would teach kids the Scriptures, we would pour honey over their tablet so that they would realize that the Scriptures were the most wonderful thing that they would ever, ever taste. But I got to see the Lamb who is worthy, take the scroll, and in God's presence, make everything right. All Oh, and then there was worship. Oh, I mean, I thought there was worship before, but when the seals had been broken, oh, you should have seen that throne. Those creatures, the angels, the 24 elders, they would all cry out, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain." I wrote the words down so that I wouldn't forget it. And I've got it here today, and I would like to read it to you. Before I came here, they told me that if I wanted to read in church, I would need these. Oh, they are amazing. I wrote down this book. They've put it in sections now. That's very convenient. Go to section number 5 if you have your scriptures. The last book of the Bible, section number 5. Oh, and there's sections within sections. Look at that. Number 9. And they sang a new song with these words. You see, in section number 4, they had to sing the old song. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But now, in section number 5, now that the Lamb has come and is worthy, there is a new song, and it goes like this. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were killed, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Oh, we had to learn that. We thought it was just for us, but it's not. And you have caused them to become God's kingdom and his priests, and they will reign here on earth. And then I looked again, and I heard the singing of thousands and millions of angels around the throne, and the living beings, and the elders, and they sang in a mighty chorus. This is all of us, by the way. The Lamb is worthy. The Lamb who was killed. He is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they also sang. Everything everywhere sang. Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb. Forever and ever. And the four living beings said, Amen. Amen. You might have to get out of these rows. These rows are stilting you a little bit. We'll have to work on that. I'm going to have a word with your pastor. I don't know if you know who Jesus is. He is your Savior.
Amen.
And when you have an encounter with Him, you become saved. I wonder, do you pray in church these days? Good. I'm glad about that. Is there a brother and a sister? I have nobody planted. But is there a brother and a sister who would like to come up and just pray and thank God for Jesus? Is there a couple of people who would like to come and say a prayer with us here today? We have a sister. Is there a brother? Is there a brother who will come and pray? Don't be shy. Someone who has experienced salvation. Is there a brother? A brother, you look in charge. This is good. Can I just ask you to pray and thank God for his salvation?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great love. For your love that is so hard to understand, but so beautiful and powerful. We just praise you and thank you for Jesus, who has saved us from our sin. Glory be to you, and thank you for your Holy Spirit.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much for dying for us, for saving us. Our lives would not be worth living but a short time here if you hadn't saved us so we could live for eternity. Thank you, Lord.